In this episode, we're talking about nature playgroups, why we're so passionate about them, and some of the misconceptions people might have when they go to attend one. So, wondering if nature playgroup is for you? In this episode, we answer that question. Welcome to Raising Wildlings, a podcast about parenting, alternative education, and stepping into the wilderness, however that looks, with your family.
Each week, we'll be interviewing experts that truly inspire us to answer your parenting and education questions. We'll also be sharing stories from some incredible families that took the leap and are taking the road less travelled.
We're your hosts, Vicky and Nikki from Wildlings Forest School. Pop in your headphones, settle in, and join us on this next adventure.
Hello and welcome to episode 20 of the Raising Wildlings podcast. We're your hosts, Nikki Farrell
and Vicky Oliver.
20 episodes.
What a milestone. Who would have thought in January that we would be starting a podcast, let alone be up to our 20th episode already?
It's been such a steep but rewarding learning curve for both of us. I don't know if our audience knows this, but Vicky has become a self-taught audio editor, which just, you know, goes to show that unschooling works, right?
Or exactly does. I've learned more in the last 4 years of running business than I have my entire learning career.
If you could see, and we need to do this, a behind the scenes of what goes into putting a podcast together, you would see Vicky up at all sorts of hours editing this podcast. And I'm so proud of the work that she does, and I'm so grateful because I did it for about 5 minutes, gave up, and got so cross.
But it's so good because I get to actually hear all of the whole entire episodes, particularly the ones that I'm not sitting in for, the interviews that you do. It's so good that I can actually hear all of that. I get my own special preview. So I actually really enjoy doing it.
I'm so grateful that we have opposite skill
sets. This is why we work so well as a business, because what one of us hates, the other one is quite happy to do.
Yeah. And then on the other hand, I've really learned to have to put on my big girl knickers and approach some of our idols to come on and chat. Yeah. And that's been big for me for having to ask for help.
Yeah.
One of them. And I guess just seeing people as humans. Everyone has been so approachable and so generous, and just going, people are good.
They are. They really are. And we've had so many moments of just like awe and learning and being able to share that with our audience has been something that's really, really special.
So rewarding. And as far as, I guess, achievements go, we've unbelievably been in the top 10 shows in the parenting section on Apple Podcasts since we started. Just can't believe what we've accomplished with this podcast already. The people we've met, the things that we've learnt, and the positive effects it's had on our business, which in turn has enabled us to encourage more families outdoors more often, which is, you know, that's why we're here.
That's why we're here. And in talking about helping more families, we've actually got a little download for you on our website at wildlingsforestschool.com/free-downloadables. And it's a little forest fairy nature craft template. So you can print that out and then you can use different nature items, leaves and flowers and petals or even gum nuts to create your own little forest fairy. It's a really cute little template.
It's so cute. And as another bonus, if you're a playgroup coordinator or a childcare worker or parent, we think you'll love our friend Brooke's books. She's got a book out called Your Wild Imagination, and her brand new book that just dropped this week is called Your Wild Child. So each of these books includes more than 20 different nature play activities, and they're aimed at around children 2 to 12 years. But Vicky and I were chatting this morning when she received our order for our online shop that, you know, we've been talking about creating a book like this. It was on our list of projects probably since we started, really. And then Vicky said as soon as she saw Brooks, it was like, no, that's it. That's done.
She's done an incredible job. And we've looked at so many different nature books and craft books and been on Pinterest. And when we had a vision for something like this, the one thing we both said is it really needed to be just stunningly beautiful. And what Brooke has done with this book is exactly that. It is a stunning book. And I think that it would be such an amazing resource and addition to anyone that works with children, or just parents who are looking for a bit of inspiration.
And it ticks all those boxes for us. It seriously is exactly what we've been searching for. And it's Australian-based nature craft. It's printed in Australia, photographed by an Australian photographer. And it's written by Brooke, who lives in Adelaide. And she's an experienced and passionate nature play advocate. So we are really happy that we've partnered together, and you can get 10% off your purchase of Your Wild Imagination and Your Wild Child from either our online store at wildlingsforestschool.com/shop or Brooke's online store, which is wildimagination.com.au. And both of us will be running the discount code WILDLINGS. Just a note, that needs to be in all caps, and that code will be valid until the end of October.
We are so excited to be partnering with such a like-minded, women-owned, child-centered business, and we're so proud of what Brooke has accomplished. And who run the world? Girls.
So today we're doing things a little bit differently because, yes, it's us chatting about a topic that we're passionate about, but today I'm going to try and interview Vicky as much as we can about nature playgroups, because Vicky's playgroup is what started Wildlings Forest School. So Vicky, can you tell us what it was that led you to starting Little Wildlings back in what year?
2014, I think I started the very first version of Little Wildlings.
Mm-hmm.
And I started that because I'd originally been to a playgroup in Mackay where we lived for the first 2 years of my eldest daughter's life. And I went to a playgroup there and it was phenomenal. I loved it so much. And I wanted to create that here on the Sunshine Coast because there was nothing like it here. And it was more of a Steiner-influenced playgroup in Mackay, and I started off that way, and it quickly evolved for a number of different reasons. But the main reason I wanted to start it was because I wanted to find like-minded families who wanted to meet and see our children grow up together. So that was my original inspiration, and that's exactly what happened. And I still have those long-term friendships with people even now. My children have friendships with those children that they have known since the very beginning.
Which is so special, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so special. And I know that that's what so many new mums are looking for.
Yeah, and I think that's really important, is that often people, they're not actually coming to playgroup for, they're not looking for an activity for their children. They're using playgroup as a place to meet like-minded parents.
Yes, and I think so, especially when you have really little babies. You know, when you're a new mum, you are looking to connect. You are looking to find other people who can empathize with what you're going through, to be able to support you through those difficult decision-making and worrying about what we're doing as parents and finding out that we're quite normal and everything that we're experiencing is being experienced by other people. We're sharing that together, which is, I think, why so many mums feel isolated, because they haven't necessarily found that.
Yeah. So what was missing for you from other playgroups? And just remember to our listeners that this is a personal opinion.
Yeah, this is my personal opinion and observation. I think there's a few things that were, for me, missing with other playgroups. And the first one was that we were really drawn to being outside. So I found that I was more easily entertained and my children were more easily entertained when we were actually using the outdoor space. So a lot of playgroups are run, say, in halls or in churches, and there's just an ease that comes from being outside. So I think that was missing. And then also just finding some people that are like-minded in the way that we are approaching the parenting journey. That definitely was a little bit mixed. So finding people that do have some similarly aligned ideas about what kind of parent we want to be and what we want for our children, that helps a lot as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's probably something we don't advertise a lot on our nature playgroups, is that there is a lot of respectful communication and respectful parenting that goes on, not just from us as coordinators. It's the parents that we seem to attract are parents that are very mindful about the way that they speak to their children, which is just beautiful. I've learned so much over the years from our parents, more than any parenting book.
Yeah, it is. Watching it in action is something to behold, because you're actually seeing how it's been spoken and then also how it's being received from the children as well, which you can't really get out of a book.
Yeah. Can you talk to us about some of the things you've learned over the years about the way children learn?
Yeah.
In that age group.
One of the main things that I've learned about the way that children learn is that they really truly learn when the learning is in their hands, when they have the freedom to choose what they're going to do rather than being quite adult-centered. So a lot of the way that our playgroups have evolved have come from that central idea that children really are in charge of their own learning, whether you like that or not, whether you are trying really hard to attain an outcome, to see an end product. The children will only learn what they want to learn, what they're interested in learning at that time, or what they're ready for.
I'm just giggling. I can think of an example where I had a quite complex cutting activity and the parents really got into it. The parents enjoyed the activity, but the children just enjoyed cutting a ball of string with the scissors, and that's all they did. And they loved it. And that could have been the activity, but in my head I was trying to please the parents instead of the children.
Yeah, and I think that comes down to some of these misconceptions that we see and those expectations of what it is that we provide. And, yeah, it's interesting because obviously we're building our programs based around the philosophies that we truly believe in and what we have learnt about children and education and the way that they learn. So,
and let's caveat that if someone else is running a nature playgroup and it's different to ours, we are so in support of what you're doing because that works for you and your families.
And you creating what you feel is needed for your family and your children and the children in your community.
That's right.
Yeah.
This is just what we have chosen to run based on our experiences. Mm-hmm. So let's backtrack a little. And what is nature playgroup?
Yeah. So Nature Playgroup for us is aimed at 0 to 3-year-olds, although we do often get families coming all the way up to sort of your preschool age children up to 6. Mm-hmm. And it's basically a nature immersion group. It's not specifically about skill building. Skill building happens as part of what we do. It's not the aim. It's not the entire purpose. Our nature playgroups are set in nature spaces that we're trying to find quite wild spaces, somewhere that will provide complexity and challenge for children. But we also include a seasonal song circle. So our songs will change based on the seasons, but they're also just about having a bit of fun and body movement. Then there's also a seasonal story time. So this is like a Steiner-influenced activity. And for me personally, when I run playgroups, I like to do oral storytelling with props because I really find that fun. And we've got beautiful families like one of my dear friends who creates these amazing felt mats, Little Clan Wild. So using those props in the seasonal story time. And then we also provide a seasonal craft or activity. But that's something that's got to be super simple.
Yeah, we'll delve into that in just a second. I think the only thing I'd like to add to that is that our main purpose is to build a village to gather children for free play in nature.
Yes.
If we were going to sum it up, it actually wouldn't be about the song time, story time, and craft. It would actually be about the free gathering.
You've hit the nail on the head.
Like-minded families for free time in nature.
Yeah, it's community. It's free play in nature. And I think that message sometimes gets lost a little bit.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. So we're going to start breaking down some of the myths or misconceptions about what nature playgroup here at Wildlings is. Again, this isn't other people's playgroups. This is what we offer here.
Yeah.
And probably one of the ones that we get is, well, we could go to the creek ourselves and we could do it for free. Let's chat about that.
Yeah. We get this. A few people have said, oh, I love what you do, but I do that with my children already. And my first reaction is, thank you. That's amazing.
Fantastic.
We are so glad you do that. That is exactly what we want to see.
That's exactly why we do what we do, is that we offer playgroup in the hopes that it will encourage groups to get together and do it for free, or that you'll meet people
more
in our
regularly.
Playgroup that you can then go and create your own group with.
That's right.
For free.
That's exactly what happens. And a lot of the people we get attending playgroup are people that are new to the area or are looking to make some mummy connections, because let's face it, a lot of the time when we have babies, sometimes we are not surrounded by people who are also having children. So it can be a lonely space and we're looking for those people. So if we can help you find some people to meet with regularly, then we are hearts full. That's exactly what we want to see.
Yeah. More of it, please.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the reason we continue to offer that is the flip side of this, and we're as guilty of this as anyone, 100%. Is that Often free things aren't valued.
No.
People are a bit more flaky. If there's something to turn up to that's free, people are much less likely to attend.
To commit.
Yeah, that if you don't pay for something, often you don't commit to them. And I'm super guilty of this. Prior to Playgroup and playing for it, I didn't go out in nature much with my babies. But then once I committed and I paid, it was this commitment for me to get out of the house, get our rain gear if we needed it, and go out and be in nature for a length of time. It wasn't 2 hours, you know.
No.
More often than not, it was 3 or 4 hours that we were down
there. Oh, yeah, for sure. I've been running Playgroup for years now, and it was the biggest day of our week. So the two-hour session, I'd be home at 3 or 4 in the afternoon because there were plenty of parents who were just, we just rolled with it, and it was just, everyone was having such a great time. The day was beautiful, even on those rainy, miserable days. Like some of those days were the most amazing, fun, adventure-filled days. So, yeah, they definitely got us out there. And same for me, like I committed to Playgroup. I was there every single week, every Tuesday since I've moved to the Sunshine Coast. I have been going to Playgroup, and that's because I made that commitment to be there for other people. And that has meant that our family has had some of the most amazing experiences. And I can tell you right now that even when we arrange to meet up with other people outside of Playgroup and Kindy and all the other things that we run, it is so easy to pull out. So easy to say, I'm sick, someone's sick, someone's not feeling right today, we're having a bad day.
It's a bit wet here
today.
Didn't
sleep enough last night, it's a little bit windy. Whatever the reason is, it's so easy to not go. So by also valuing that for people is that once you make that financial commitment, you will come and you will get the value out of that just by knowing that you have to turn up every week.
Yeah. On from that, I want to say that Vicky ran Playgroup for free for how many years?
Oh, probably about 3 years.
Yes, for about 3 years. And that was just, it was a labor of love. So it took another year for us to become Wildlings Forest School and to make that a paid offering. And it didn't pay you. It didn't pay you enough for your time.
No.
For 2 years, I think.
Oh, yeah. So probably all the way up until I stopped, I'd say.
I was just about to say it hasn't actually really been until this year that we've made any sort of profit on Nature Playgroup. It has always been a labor of love for us, and it has always been
community building. I mean, that's always been the aim of it. It's never been.
Yeah. It's an essential service for us. But at some point we have to value women's labor. And part of the reason we have kept Playgroup on is that we want to provide employment opportunities for stay-at-home mums in a child-friendly work environment where they can bring their children and their children can cry and need attending to without any guilt on their part.
That's exactly right. It is. And it's not until you sort of slapped ourselves in the face with this and went, you know what, we really do need to value women's labour, particularly when they go into these caregiving roles. It's been said over and over again that the work of stay-at-home women and those and men that stay home with their children, it's more than a full-time job. It is an ongoing, relentless job that nobody gets any monetary value. And it's just not acknowledged as a financial contribution to our society.
Yeah, which is ridiculous because coordinating a nature playgroup, it might sound easy, but the admin behind it is ongoing and continuous because people don't just join up at the start of the term, and a lot of people will inquire but not attend, or they'll want to come 1 week but they're sick, which is, it's parenthood. We're not holding any grudges against that.
That's
just
part and parcel of how we run these programs. Administration is part of that. And also because of the way that we ran it for a very long time, there was a lot of correspondence about where we were meeting. And then there's also all of the gear that we have to take with us.
As a mobile service.
That's not even part of the actual activities that we might provide. So there was a lot of things that I had to take every single week just in order to set a mat up on the ground. So all of that, we want to value the time that women put into that because it is women who run these programs for us.
So, again, there's just this assumption that some woman somewhere will do it.
Will do the work.
Yeah. So I guess just to summarize, we're very, very passionate. If you haven't, can't tell about paying women for their work.
Yeah. And also having an opportunity to be able to work with your children alongside you.
Yeah.
That's really been a really special part for me. It's my children have been able to watch me be of service to the people around us and to commit and to show them what it takes to show up for our community. Which, they have had to sacrifice a lot as well because of the role I had to take. So my children had to sacrifice a lot of attention from me because I have had to spread my attention amongst other families and their needs as well. And that was something that my children have done overall fairly well, particularly because my children can be very loud when they are expressing their needs. and that's difficult to parent as well in front of everyone when you're the leader of a community and your children are pushing those boundaries and you're having to parent in this spotlight as well. So that's also difficult as a coordinator as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, really difficult. Mm.
So then the next point, which is something that we have learned over the time, is that nature playgroups are not meant to be adult-centered. And what I mean by that is that when we're not providing activities for the parents or the outcomes that the parents are thinking we're providing, we're providing activities that serve a purpose for children and developmentally appropriate for children.
Which for 0 to 3 have to be really simple.
Super, super simple. Because what I found is that I have done a range of activities and continue to do so sometimes as well, where the activity is far too complex for children to achieve on their own. Mm-hmm. And there is a flow-on effect and there is a message being sent to children when we take an opportunity for them to do something themselves and as parents we do it for them. It's disempowering and it's teaching children that they are not good enough and that they are not capable. And that is the exact opposite of what we're trying to achieve with our programs.
We want these tasks to be small, achievable tasks that they achieve success from. And if they're not developmentally appropriate and they don't have the dexterity to manage the tools that are required or the skills required, then that leaves them disengaged with the activity, which then can lead to, behaviour issues and big feelings.
That's right. And a lot of the time, don't get me wrong, I actually do love stepping into a craft activity and finishing something off. And 100%, if parents love playing with and I always say this, if you want to play with the flowers that we've brought down to make something, or if you want to create your own necklace or whatever we're doing out of leaves, absolutely go for your life. But we're really trying to de-emphasize the finished product. Is what we're trying to, the finished product is not what we're there for. So if you want to be able to take home this beautiful art and craft activity that your child has made, but they didn't actually make it, you did, that's sending a really wrong message to our children. And that's not what we're about anymore.
No, we are about process over product. Mm-hmm. So the skills required in learning to pick up a pair of scissors and cut a piece of string are far more valued than the necklace that was tied by the parent and cut by the parent
and threaded by the parent. Leaves gone and picked by the parent, and which is, we're all guilty of that. And it's taken us a long time and a lot of reflection and a lot of observation for us to get to the point where we've really had to scale back what we're
and the people pleaser in us.
Yeah.
I think because we do want to provide, and we, when it comes down to it, our stakeholders, our customers, our parents. But really, we're children's rights advocates. Mm. So our programs are for children, but we still have to ensure that the parents understand the why behind our processes.
Yeah. And I guess too, this is something we've grappled with, is that we then provide very simple and just one activity for children, because what we're trying to encourage is to play in nature, to come up with their own games, to find ways of using the space with other children alongside. To create, to use their imagination, or to be creative. And when we provide too much, number one, it's a waste of our time.
They're not interested.
They're not interested. So I often say if the setup and the pack up of a craft activity outweighs the time or the value or the learning of the activity, then it's not worth it.
No, it's not.
And I can hear parents all over the place going, oh my goodness, you know, like I saw this beautiful thing on Pinterest, spent 2 hours gathering all the resources, and then I sat down with them and they played with it for 5 minutes, and then all of a sudden, instead of painting the thing they were meant to paint, they're painting all over themselves and the table, and it just got out of hand, and then you end up spending 3 hours cleaning it up. Was it worth it? Did your child actually use that experience to learn what you thought they were going to learn? And again, this is all upon a lot of reflection. Every time that we've done an activity and I've thought to myself, geez, that took me, you know, an hour of going to source the materials, and then I had to go and pack this and find that and get this extra thing, put it all together, and then actually when you get to playgroup and you put it on the mat and the kids are just all over the place, and then, you know, wanting to use the glue and they're starting to squeeze it out like it's water and it's just because they're not developmentally ready for that. Those activities are not appropriate for the age group that we're targeting. And, you know, again,
there's still a cause and effect. What happens when I squeeze glue? Like that's where we're at developmentally.
Exactly. Yeah. And so there's other ways in which we can meet that need without expensive products and the outcome, this beautiful craft outcome. So it is, it's try not to provide too much because it's not actually worth it. And we're really looking at providing more opportunities to develop their essential skills that are often sometimes called soft skills, but those social and emotional skills.
Purposely don't supply a resource for every child.
No.
Because children, not that we believe that children need to share, but we do.
That's a whole other podcast
on that one.
Yeah.
But we do believe that this is a great opportunity to teach children about a consent and about bodily autonomy, about patience and waiting your turn and things like that. Not in particular about sharing. Again, I want to reiterate that.
Yeah, sharing is definitely a whole other ball game.
But those essential social skills, this is how we develop them.
Give them opportunities to just start to see how those work. So it's not necessarily that's the outcome. It's that they're given an opportunity to work with other people and to see how we negotiate social interactions over time, because they're not going to learn it in a day or even after a year of being at playgroup, but they are watching those social interactions amongst adults and children and other children together, older children, and that's the important part, not the craft activity.
Absolutely. So to summarize, our nature playgroups focus on building essential social, emotional, and physical skills through free play in nature.
Yeah, we're really looking at following a loose rhythm because children learn best when they're able to choose and follow their own interests, not the adult-centered interests.
Yeah. We make sure that we provide very simple nature crafts because crafts need to be developmentally appropriate and require minimal help from parents because children want to be able to do and make their own things independently to achieve success.
Yeah, we're really focusing, again, on the process over the product.
And ultimately, we just believe that free playing in nature is how children learn best.
And we want to make sure that people have that community to do that with.
On that note, before we get slammed with inquiries, yes, we are going to offer a How to Start a Nature Playgroup course, and that will be up right before the end of term four, so right before Christmas, so that you have time over the Christmas holidays to get yourself ready to start playgroup in the new year.
Which would be amazing. We'd love to see more people taking the steps to creating that community. Next week, we'll be chatting to Kyle Lyons from Active OT in Sydney about the physical benefits of nature play programs. Now, we met Kaya at the ABAC conference last year on the Gold Coast, and we connected and so excited to learn more about how she's doing her occupational therapy just a little bit differently. So really looking forward to that interview. So until then, if you'd like a little inspiration to get your family outside, you can head to wildlingsforestschool.com/free-downloadables to get our free nature scavenger hunt printable. And we would love for you to share your adventures with the scavenger hunt on our socials. So please tag us on Instagram. So until next week, stay wild.
Stay wild.